Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. And welcome, welcome, welcome. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, dear listeners. Yes, it is, well, if you're in the capital, it is soaking wet. There's also this running joke, just to let you know. There's also this running joke that specifically when it starts raining, Vindicus forget how to drive. Primarily that they drive slow and cautious and everyone moves at a snail's pace. Which has obviously been my pet peeve. And primarily, wherever you find yourself, I'm actually going to advocate for the opposite. Do drive safe. Do maintain your safety because obviously it's soaking out there. The roads are wet and primarily it's rush hour and primarily drive time as you know it. And as most of us have returned from the holidays that we have endure. If you're of the ilk of Namibians that, you know, suffer during your restful periods and those that enjoyed, you know, that you have obviously wished that it would have, you know, endured a little bit longer, the enjoyment factor. Yeah, sure, you know, all that. But this is the Drive Time Session here on your number one talk radio station. This is The Home Run, and obviously what we do is we get you into those interesting deep diving. What's the other word for? Autopsy, you know, providing, autopsy analysis providing discussions that we always do here on this Drive Time Session. Now, as you earn my company from the 4:30 to 6 p.m. time frame, our talk takes us into a dilemma that is busy hanging over the rest of the world. I say the rest of the world because primarily it seems that the leadership at FIFA and the U.S. President Donald Trump have not realized what they actually created specifically with the events of 3 January 2026. So, recap on what happened on 3 January 2026. If you decided to do what the proverbial ostrich hiding its head in the sand depiction of illustration does, then this is the particular show, and you are on the right particular frequency and on the right channel. If you're obviously, you know, accessing us through the various multimedia platforms, is that on 3 January, the United States, basically breached, transgressed on international law. And I'll call it what it is because if you can call a thief for stealing something without the thief actually going through the whole judicial process and the whole charging and the whole booking and the whole interview and interrogation process with the police. And even before that thief gets to the courtroom itself to be now further processed by the justice system, that thief unfortunately has been dubbed, which is the oldish word, or has been labeled already as a thief because there are two processes that are working against the thief, the said thief. So we don't even need to go to a International Court of Justice, criminal court or court of justice, the ICJ, or even look at the Security Council because it took the Security Council 5 days, even though South Africa was running around trying to call on the Security Council to meet urgently based upon the actions of the United States, and the Security Council was just dragging its feet. Yes, they were dragging their feet. They were. I mean, it's very easy for the Security Council to meet on events that are happening in Gaza, but the moment a sovereign state and its sovereign head, sovereign head of state with its sovereignty in terms of being a country and nation are being, attacked or is under attack or is under some format of a blockade, because that is one of the oldest military strategies that the American Navy and Coast Guard had enacted on the, just outside the national waters of Venezuela, is primarily that they stopped they literally intimidated another nation. Literally intimidated. Now, our discussion, if you've seen the social media post for today's home run session, positions the hypothesis to you, the listener, to you, if you are an avid football fanatic, to you, if you are a football fan who's looking forward to watching all the matches, probably at 1 o'clock in the morning or at 3 p.m. at 3 a.m. at night, specifically the footballing that has to come out of the United States, Canada, and Mexico, because these three countries will co-host the 2026 FIFA World Cup. It is slated for the middle part of this year, which is the June to July period, which is usually our winter season. And at the heart of this discussion has been that both nations, the United States and Venezuela, are FIFA members. Now, you know, here on the Home Run, we only deal with facts. We don't deal with hyperbole. We don't deal with maybes, couldas, wouldas. Okay, we also do factor them in because people do ask those questions. People do think that far. And, you can sometimes see on digital platforms and chat rooms and engagement platforms that people actually highlight, cite, position various points of argument and discourse is taking place. Even though it's just keyboard commanding and, keyboard analysis that's taking place, people are having these discussions. And I've seen one or two particular digital petitions from, it's one or two people that promoted this digital petition in online platforms that I also access. So first and foremost, I saw it firstly on X, this being a South African account, meaning a South African that posted this particular engagement. And secondly, a local Namibian, who I have also sometimes interviewed here on Eagle FM's platforms, primarily for various particular conversations around social justice and the basic income grant analysis and insights, also promoted this particular similar petition. Now, even opinion pieces or opinion thinkers in various publications around the world have started asking this question. Why is FIFA not banning the United States from hosting the World Cup and kicking out their football association out of the FIFA World Cup? Now, there is one caveat that we've got a position here. And you have to sit with this caveat as for this discussion. It's actually a myriad of caveats, because the myriad, meaning the various examples that I'm going to list, have all been examples where the United States and the United Kingdom have participated specifically in the destabilization of another FIFA member state. Now, when I say a FIFA member state, and when I say a discussion primarily about this kind of a caveat system that you've got to observe, is that you can see that there's a precedent whereby the same nation has routinely, if I can call it a routine, if you can look for a routine, it'll be slightly difficult, but let's use the word routinely, because there's not a period of 5 years that goes by without a sense of peace happening around the world where, one of the Security Council members, the United States primarily, has been entrenched or bogged down or has been in a long-term conflict scenario. These are also just facts. They are just facts. We thought, yes, that includes me, that includes you. We thought the Ukraine conflict and the particular hotbed or the, just the ugly business, which is the Gaza conflict, were the only, sort of like major scenarios that happened. Because obviously, if you look at the Sudan conflict, that is a internal issue. But if you look at what primarily is happening between DRC and Rwanda, you can also highlight that as a boiling point you know, boiling point scenario as well. That's one of the major conflicts around the world. And we get to 3 January 2026. Now, there's a running joke known as Donald Trump will bring you democracy, in inverted commas, which is obviously what has been some of the terms that Trump has used, because now he's also throwing the same particular language towards Iran regarding the protests that are happening in Iran. And much of the world is going like, it does really look like we are counting down or getting closer to a third world war. We had this conversation last week, Helmut and I, here on the Home Run. We had it last week Thursday. We had it here last week. And it is becoming ever more scary. For some reason, the powers that be globally in the international relations realm, I mean, when people are using big words and, you know, pounding their chests and trying to shout the loudest, I mean, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump, and then, you know, it's a tinderbox situation, meaning just the smallest spark would kick off the worst of events. So, the precedent that I highlighted to you was, you could see in the last 20 years from 2000 heading this way, meaning the last 26 years for that matter, there have been major conflict scenarios that the United States has been participating in, and it was with fellow FIFA member states. Now, I keep referencing that label, fellow FIFA member states. Okay, Afghanistan is questionable. Does Afghanistan play football? I don't know. Maybe it's probably there what do they call that scenario? It's probably there in spirit. Its membership is probably there in spirit, but I know that Afghanistan is a cricket-loving country, just like Pakistan, just like India, and just like Bangladesh, and just like Sri Lanka. So, cricket it is. Because cricket is the world's second largest sport, just so that you know that. It's a fact. Guess why it's the second? It's because of 1.4 billion Indians who love, support, play, eat, sleep, cricket. Oh, and mind you, the under-19 men's cricket is kicking off tomorrow, so there's also another bonus, specifically in Namibia's sort of like prominence as a sports tourism venue. But I bring you back to the negative. The negative that we're looking at in today's scenario is that a precedent had been set during the normal routine of conflict for the past 25 years wherein the United States had been involved in its 25 years of conflict history from 2000 heading to 2026, was that in 2022, Russia decided to have its special military operation on the border of Ukraine, and specifically taking the eastern province of the Donbass and Luhansk territories and other particular smaller parts as well. And we had a situation specifically where the powers that be at UEFA and at FIFA showed up, brought in a resolution, or not a resolution, but okay, the FIFA guys weren't the unhappy ones because they made the complaint, because only FIFA can only act if the confederation, meaning the federation that you as a nation participate in, decided to act, and FIFA just said, yes, we agree with UEFA, and yes, we will also strengthen the said sanctions. Now, before we actually continue, guys, joining me in studio is Hende from Eagle FM's Eagle Sports Zone every Sunday, where you can obviously engage with him. Hende, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, Dwight. How are you?
A little bit soaked, but you know what? I'm busy drying out. I'm busy drying out. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a nice afternoon today.
Nice? Dude, yeah. There was thunder and lightning.
Nice, overcast, cool weather.
Okay, you know, if I hide long enough at the studio, probably I would not have seen the lightning that was scaring me on the way here. But yeah, it's awesome to have you here as well, Hende, because obviously it's a touchy situation. Mm-hmm. And the precedent that I mentioned just before you stepped in had been a precedent of one country is doing something, mm-hmm. and the moment another country tries to just step, it's just poking its little toe out of line, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm told, okay, before we actually continue with that, but we come back to the question after the break.
Okay.
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 litre Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Corn Flakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1-ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
And coming back, dear listeners, and once again, where we left off, I was in the process of asking Hende a question or describing him a situation. So Hende, the country that was busy poking its toe into a special military operation, as what Russia calls it, has obviously been punished a lot more severe. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking severe. It's past football that the sanctions run. And the United States decided on 3 January to, you know, do its little particular special military operation.
Yeah.
And still denying that it's actually a war, that's any military action.
Of course.
But people know that there are US Marines on the ground in Caracas.
Yeah.
Now, here's the facts on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It is very difficult to particularly point out to any legislation. Now, I've had to download 2 sets of legislation from UEFA.
Okay.
They changed part of their rules and statutes and regulation statutes. The rule they used against Russia is no longer on the latest amended documentation that they have. There was one which ran from 2017 to 2022.
Yeah.
And from 2023 to 2025 last year, they have a different set of rules.
But does it, this legislation you're talking about, does it apply to FIFA as well?
It's the basis that UEFA used to sanction Russia, and then UEFA motivated it to FIFA. And FIFA agreed to the particular legislation.
Yeah.
Because I also downloaded the Court of Arbitration, the CAS engagement, because there was an appeal process that Russia could engage in.
Mm-hmm.
And based upon that, the Russians were obviously challenging, you know, what is the vagueness of the statement of what UEFA was using?
Yeah.
Don't bring the image of UEFA into disrepute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just like I said, it's a pretty vague thing to say. It's open-ended.
Yeah.
And you can fill in as much as you want if you want to punish someone. Now, if you look at that, I'm firstly going to ask for your personal perspective on, should we punish the United States? And should we strip them of the World Cup hosting?
I mean, it's a very tricky question to answer, honestly. Especially considering that we're, 6 months or so away from the World Cup now?
Actually make it 5, because May would be used as the preparation month.
Exactly. So 5 months away from the World Cup. It would be a logistical nightmare, truthfully speaking. So, if we were gonna say in a perfect world, and if they were able to find a suitable replacement and, you know, state all logistics would be sorted, then I think the answer, or in my personal opinion, I think the answer would be yes, because.
But remember, there's Mexico and Canada, eh? They were the other co-hosts.
Exactly, but they only have like
2 or 3.
Each, Mexico only has 1, if I'm not mistaken, and Canada has 2 stadiums.
2 matches. Or the venues.
Yeah.
So they're probably looking at 3 and 4 matches.
Yeah, they don't have more than 5 matches. Yeah. I know that. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's not more than 5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a tricky situation, honestly. And I think that let's say the World Cup was supposed to be in Russia, and Russia did something like what the USA did, I strongly believe FIFA would find a way to strip Russia of the World Cup. But I think because it's the USA and, you know, Donald Trump is involved and things like that.
Well, he got that weird award from Infantino as well, the one that people are poking fun at.
I'm glad you brought up Infantino. I mean, he basically went to go kiss the ring a few months ago at the White House.
Went a little bit far with that one.
So, yeah, it's a tricky situation, honestly.
Yeah.
But if we're being realistic, they're not going to take the World Cup away from the USA.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be one of the more, politically charged World Cups that we're going to see, even more than, Qatar and Russia.
And here's an interesting thing. Also just to help with that point that you made.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously with the Gaza conflict that had been ongoing, shouts voices were starting to get louder and shouting a little bit louder from Europe and, from North America regarding what Israel was busy doing in Gaza. Obviously, that conflict scenario. And back in October of last year, Infantino was asked the question, does FIFA have the particular role to play in trying to bring sides together, you know, warring parties, warring countries?
Mm-hmm.
One of the responses that he gave at such a particular questioning was, FIFA cannot solve geopolitical problems.
Yeah.
Even though the strategic strategy, the whole strategy of FIFA mm-hmm. for 2023 to 2027 is literally about a peace building
exactly.
and using football for diplomatic, no, not diplomatic, let's say rather for like crossing, you know, trying to cross boundaries in terms of
mm-hmm.
being inclusive and all that particular, you know, positive language that they wish to use.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at something like that, clearly the president of FIFA is saying, no, FIFA is not there to sort out geopolitical issues.
Yeah.
But when Zimbabwe tried to bring in the police to prosecute the some officials from the Zimbabwean FA
mm-hmm.
regarding sexual harassment cases mm-hmm. or concerns from football, from female referees in Zimbabwe,
yeah.
FIFA stepped in, FIFA and CAF stepped in and banned Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we were supposed to face Zimbabwe in our World Cup.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember exactly what you
said. And then, was it Kenya or was it Uganda that was also banned by CAF or FIFA
mm-hmm.
regarding, some sort of the minister of sport in that nation also wished to act in one other scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So one East African country, one Southern African country where if a local politician, which is the minister of sport,
yeah.
realizes that there is something wrong in the local sports authority of that code,
mm-hmm.
they try to correct it. They try to do an ethical or moral thing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause in many cases, I mean, sexual harassment cases are very close to being criminal charges.
Mm-hmm.
FIFA and CAF stepped in, or CAF and FIFA stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
Because CAF always acts and then CAF motivates the FIFA.
Yeah.
So if we look at, they might look like little issues, but if we look at scenarios like that, your FA gets kicked out because your minister of sport is trying to intervene in a civilian or possible criminal scenario.
Mm-hmm.
What does that then say?
I mean, it kind of says that they pick and choose when they want to, you know, use their powers, basically.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like you said, he said that FIFA can't solve geopolitical problems, but they can definitely, like, make better or make worse of a certain situation.
Or even inflame it, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, they can't solve it, but they definitely play a role. That's undeniable. And it's why they put it in their strategy, like you stated, because FIFA themselves know the power that sport and particularly the sport of football has in the world, really. So, yeah, it's gonna be an interesting World Cup.
No, it's ugly. It's a good thing you said interesting. I'm gonna use the word ugly.
I mean, okay, Namibia is not in, but what if I wanted to go to the World Cup? Now I have to pay $15,000.
Was it 15 or was it 25,000?
15.
15 for Namibians.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes the AGOA discussion even worse because
exactly.
tourism is part of the main factors of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the United States in their tourism sector, this is not obviously an affiliated sector, but sports tourism is a real thing.
Yeah.
Now, what was the guy's name? The guy that visited last year here in Namibia. He literally visited the day before President Nandi Ndaitwa was inaugurated. He's the World Tourism, the UN's World Tourism Organization.
Okay.
But his term ended last year because it's now a lady from China that's mm-hmm. now the new Director General.
Mm-hmm.
He highlighted that Namibia is the example of how you literally say tourism is an industry and it is a sector on its own.
Mm-hmm.
However, in countries like Europe, countries in Europe, not like Europe, in Europe and in other parts of the world like the United States,
yeah.
they think of tourism as an add-on.
Yeah.
So if you, for example, went, let's say, okay, you actually did study in the US. So if you went and studied again in the US,
uh-huh.
They won't count you as a possible tourist, but rather as a international student.
Yeah.
So you'll be put on an educational bracket.
Yeah.
But let's say your parents went and visited you there.
Mm-hmm.
They would be just seen as
tourist.
A basic visitor.
Yeah.
But tourism will also be like in a question markable situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sports tourism is literally what FIFA runs on.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when we obviously look at this particular discussion is that FIFA is trying to strengthen the brand of football in the United States, which is deemed as the biggest market.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you can also put question marks there because biggest market means Do people play it up and until unborn babies? Do they also play football, eat, breathe, and sleep football?
Yeah.
Or do you look at a scenario where there's other competing sports codes?
Mm-hmm.
Now, from there, HD, obviously, when we look at this, it makes not just the geopolitics interesting and weird and peculiar, but it also makes how the world now views the American Football Association.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously benefiting in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at the benefit has been something about, okay, so what is to be derived?
Mm-hmm.
Now, another peculiar thing has been the Club World Cup of last year.
Yeah.
Do you remember the match that Chelsea played, the one that took 4 hours to finish? Because of the...
Oh, because of the weather. Yeah.
So now you've got peculiar weather like that in the US as well.
Yeah.
That we did not see in Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen that peculiar weather in Brazil or in Russia. I mean, even in Russia, they were saying as long as you don't host it in winter, where Russia reaches temperatures of minus 60.
Yeah.
But everywhere else, there were positives that people could extract from each World Cup scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we are sort of like jumping the gun. It's 5 months away. But if we look at just the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Yeah.
How does that primarily make the whole discussion of having a World Cup in CONCACAF, because they are of CONCACAF, how does it make it that peculiar?
In terms of now weather, you're asking, or weather, just in general?
Well, make it weather. Make it travel. Make it tourism. Because, I mean, you need a bona fide, if you have the 15,000 US. Wow, that's 3 million Namibian dollars.
Three million?
No, it's not three. It's 300,000,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say what?
Yeah, I was already at 150,000 So it's 300,000 Namibian dollars you need, guys.
Yeah.
Just to buy a visa from the US.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've now.
I mean, you get it back, but still.
If you've now sold your kidney,
yeah.
HD. If you've now sold your kidney.
Yeah.
I know Helmut would laugh at that idea, but if we now sold your kidney, you got your 300,000 Namibian dollars. You've got your everything going for you.
Mm-hmm.
The immigration guys at JFK, they want to know your itinerary. Even if you've got that FIFA ticket, everything, they want to know your itinerary. Where are you staying?
Mm-hmm.
US tourism has only dipped by 4%.
Okay.
Since Trump came into power, since last year into this year.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are concerns that the Canadians don't visit anymore.
Yeah.
Which was their largest tourism market. Do you still feel that people will still go to the World Cup?
I think, people will still go, but I think there'll be a noticeable decline in how many people were planning to go.
Meaning like a hesitancy factor.
Yeah. Especially from now. Okay, I don't know how big the pool is from the countries that they issued now this visa bond thing to.
Mm.
But now, let's just take Europeans, for example. Obviously, you know, your England supporters, your Germany supporters, they're still going to flock in numbers.
Mm.
But.
And the UK guys.
UK, yeah.
And France, yeah.
France, all of those. Most of them will still travel, but I.
Probably also the Japanese, because they're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Japanese, South Americans. I don't know if they're part of the visa bond either, but. I think, let's say out of 100 people that were gonna go, I think now we're gonna see like the number drop to like 85, 90 people.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a slight decrease in how many people will come, but at the end of the day, it's still the FIFA World Cup, like the biggest sporting event, or if you want to put it behind the Olympics, the second biggest sporting event in the world, like it sells itself. And like, I don't know if you've been following the issue with the tickets.
I've seen that pricing. Do you know that the tickets came out last year, June or July?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cheapest ticket was already like $1,000.
Yeah.
At that stage. But they were obviously, the biggest concern was that they were ticket brokers. The reason why the tickets were so expensive was apparently there were agencies or entities that were auctioning.
No, so like how it works is like this, especially in America, you have like the resale market.
Yeah.
That's the biggest issue. But usually it's the resale markets where the tickets are expensive. Here from the very beginning, the tickets are expensive.
From the very beginning.
Yeah. And Infantino said basically like, cause he obviously heard the complaints about the ridiculous prices and.
We quickly have 5 seconds and we come back after that short break, guys.
No problem.
Attention, residents of Namibia's communal areas. This is a crucial announcement from the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform. Please listen carefully and share this message with your family members, neighbors and friends. Stop the practice of buying or selling communal land. Why? Because communal land in Namibia is state land and cannot be sold in any manner. Engaging in any transactions related to its sale or purchase is strictly illegal. The Communal Land Reform Act, Act No. 5 of 2002, explicitly prohibits such activities. Consequences of illegal land transactions. Legal penalties. Violators may face fines and imprisonment. Community harmony disruption. Selling or buying communal land can lead to land disputes and tensions within our communities. What you need to know. Communal land belongs to all of us. It is a shared resource that should benefit everyone. Preserve our heritage. By respecting communal land, we honor our cultural legacy and protect our environment. Report illegal activities. If you suspect any illegal land transactions, please report them to the traditional authority, Communal Land Board, or the ministry office nearest to your area. Let's work together to safeguard our communal land resources for future generations. The ministry will not be liable for any loss of land resources as a result of the illegal sale of communal land. Remember, communal land is precious. Let's keep it safe and secure for all. Thank you for your cooperation. The radio message is produced with financial support from the Government of the Republic of Namibia and the Federal Republic of Germany through the German Development Bank, KfW. For more information, please contact the ministry office nearest to your area or the Public Relations Office of the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform at the following telephone number 061-208-7604. All official correspondence must be addressed to the Executive Director.
So we come back, dear listeners, and obviously listening from the interesting ad that just finished, that's obviously regarding if you're, you know, willing to get into the agriculture segment aspect. Listen to Eagle FM. We've got these interesting ads going specifically for you to listen, yeah, but also to our benefit. Hende, you were still on the particular point of the ticket brokering.
Yeah, I was saying that, Infantano basically said, came out and said, like, look, I hear you guys saying that, the tickets are expensive, and FIFA did, like, set aside a set number of tickets where, like, the price is reasonable. Mm. But for the rest, he said, like, look, I forget now the exact numbers, but he said, these are the amount of tickets we released, mm, and the demand was like, I think it was 3-4-fold, like, how many were available. Mm. So he said, look, like, you guys can say what you want to say, but people still want these tickets, mm, at these ridiculous prices. Mm. And basically
and
said,
it seems like people were buying them up.
Yeah. And basically said, like, if the demand is there at that price, the price is going to stay at that price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially is almost verbatim what Infantano said.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a politically charged, expensive World Cup.
And not just that. Obviously, Trump will make his face shown at the World Cup.
Of course, he'll be...
He'll actually be there at the opening ceremony.
You see what he did at the Club World Cup? When he wouldn't get off the stage when Chelsea won.
He continued to stand there. Most.
He was holding the trophy.
And people, and
the players were like, why is this guy here? Like, it's... we won, not him.
He should hand it over. It's probably because it was nice and... But it wasn't even that much gold.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that trophy looked weird.
It was, I've never seen, I don't know who designed that or whose idea that was, but.
Well, it did look like an Infantano idea. But, so, yeah, still getting back to obviously the discussion of precedent, mm-hmm, and what is happening. Now.
I mean, okay, so before you ask your question, what if USA in between now and the World Cup follows through with the Greenland invasion also?
Now that's
what then?
That's also making everything difficult.
Exactly.
Because the national security strategy discussion of last Thursday's home run was that specifically Trump went and announced back in November everything in the Western Hemisphere, so everything on this side of the Atlantic Ocean, mm-hmm, meaning to their side, is the play park or the sandbox, whatever label you want to use.
Yeah.
That's the US's responsibility. That's their zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never heard of such colonial talk in Since 1990, eh? Ever since my brain cells started functioning as a small kid, since what, I was five then, up until now as a 41 year old man,
mm-hmm.
I've never heard such language ever before.
Yeah.
Where one country says, this is my neighborhood. I am the only person here.
I'm in charge here.
But there are other people living in, on the same block.
Yeah.
So it makes the relationship weird. It makes, any trading discussions weird.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to understand specifically how the travel for tourists will work in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I heard from an interview, that took place, I think in that first week that the AFCON started, remember back in December,
mm-hmm.
last month,
mm-hmm.
They started was on the 20, was it 22nd of, or the 20th?
No, it was like 20, it was after Christmas.
Was it after?
Wasn't it?
No, it was before. They began before.
Oh.
Just before we changed to the holiday programming.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that week of the 20th.
It was like 22nd, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was the 20th. It was a Friday. It was
either
a,
way, early
yeah,
20th.
Yeah. So they started AFCON in December of 2025,
mm-hmm.
because FIFA has a rule that says no other FIFA affiliated or similar sport affiliated major competition must be in the same year as the FIFA World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it obviously forced AFCON or CAF to shift AFCON, because AFCON would have been...
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
January, and AFCON would have been January, February.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Yeah, usually it's in January. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Correct.
That Jan, Feb time frame, because there would obviously be the whole massive bunch of football matches that the European clubs have to finish, and that it would require the African players to participate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But for some weird reason, Morocco held or had to begin, or CAF had to begin with the AFCON in December.
Mm.
Now the guy, this British journalist explained the reason for this was because of a FIFA regulation that says no other FIFA affiliated competition must be in the same year as the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a new thing apparently. Mm. Meaning it's within this 2023 to 2027 time frame.
Okay.
So it obviously throws the planning for the confederations out the window.
Yeah.
Because now they have to align with FIFA.
Yeah.
If you also look at that particular scenario, being that specifically the European clubs, obviously because that's where most of the Africans play.
Yeah.
They now have to lose potentially their players twice in the same year. Because we just recently had the quarterfinals. That finished.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Egypt, Cameroon, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, Morocco. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tunisia is not there. I didn't see Tunisia. Mali and Senegal were in the quarterfinals as well. No, they were in the second round.
No, Senegal was in the quarters. Senegal was in the semifinal.
Yeah. So from those top eight teams of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would still have if they've qualified, they would probably still be that the same players might still have to go perform in the middle of the year.
Yeah, but, World Cup is during the off season anyway. So
there's
no club football happening that time.
Yeah.
So they only lose their players for the AFCON.
Yeah. For the
World Cup is during the off season.
Yeah. Now, even in that particular scenario, we've got a whole bunch of African countries obviously on the bad list.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm interested in is what's going to happen with the South Africans going to the USA.
That was the question I was alluding to.
What's going to happen?
It's okay. Who's the other list? Who's the other country on the bad list of Trump?
Of Trump?
The other African.
I'll confirm that for you.
I think it's South Africa. It might be Burkina Faso, Senegal, no, not Senegal, Mali, Niger, Ethiopia didn't qualify. Kenya didn't qualify. Egypt is friendly. Tunisia is friendly. I think Tunisia qualified also for the World Cup. Morocco, maybe. But even then, I think we've got like two Southern Africans that qualified for the World Cup. South Africa and probably DRC maybe.
Okay, so from the US Department of State,
yeah.
The African countries that are subject to visa bonds are Algeria, Angola, Benin, Botswana, Burundi, Cape Verde, who are in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Cote d'Ivoire, Djibouti, Gabon, the Gambia, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Malawi, Mauritania, Namibia, Nigeria, Sao Tome and Principe, Senegal, Tanzania, Togo, Uganda, Zambia, Zimbabwe. So that's a lot of African countries. And of those, the ones that have qualified, let me just confirm.
So we've got 9 African countries in the World Cup. We've got Ivory Coast,
mm-hmm.
Senegal, so Cote d'Ivoire's Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
Algeria.
Yeah.
We've got Egypt, which is friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Tunisia, which is friendly. South Africa and Ghana. So it's technically almost 80% of that list that's probably highlighted in that visa bond discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other consideration has been, how do these countries also convince the immigration officials, obviously, to say that the footballers and the fans of these countries are here for a good time? Because we all know what has happened. ICE starts looking through your social media.
I think for, if I'm not mistaken, the USA did make like an exemption for
the competition.
Yeah. So I think the teams themselves, they won't have to pay the bond.
Mm.
But if you're a fan from Senegal and you want to go watch Senegal at the World Cup, you will have to pay the bond.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it makes everything so peculiar.
It's so unnecessary.
It is so unnecessary.
So unnecessary.
I mean, the other downside is also that the currency works against us.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's what now? It was at 18 Namibian dollars last time I checked in November.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably still there. But the weirdest scenario obviously has been, how would this help the overall situation of the spirit of football?
Exactly.
If everyone is going there in a negative spirit or negative.
And then another concern is, okay, let's say you manage to do what you need to do to get to the World Cup, and you're from one of these now countries on the bad list. You get there, we have no idea what the American, like, social or political landscape is going to be.
Mm.
Like, these riots and stuff that are happening now that we're seeing by Americans, who knows at what level they'll be during the World Cup.
Mm.
So now you have, you know, people from England, you have people from China, wherever, just coming to China to enjoy the World Cup. Meanwhile, outside the hotel, you know, there's Americans burning police cars and things like that.
No, but HD, didn't you hear about what happened in the Club World Cup? About the ICE, agents that were hanging around the stadiums.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And because you had fans coming from the UK, fans from South America, fans from Asia and Africa, which made the whole atmosphere peculiar, because the broadcaster, meaning the TV station, who we are seeing now obviously through the South African pay-per-view service, didn't show the camera, you know, to the outside of the stadium to show you what, you know, the fan parks and things look like outside.
Mm-hmm.
But reports were coming in specifically through British media and through other American independent media that the ICE guys were hanging outside the stadiums.
Yeah, they were. Now imagine, like, when, let's say, Mexico is playing a match in one of the American cities. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a sight to behold.
I mean, the biggest immigration issue for the United States is that much of the immigrants come through Mexico.
Yeah.
And then the other biggest issue is probably that you've got the French-speaking African countries that would like to come through parts of French-speaking Canada.
Yeah.
And primarily that would be the Northern American border.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another scenario. Let's say you go play Cote d'Ivoire in Quebec, no, in Montreal, in which is based in the province of Quebec in Canada,
yeah,
which is French speaking. You already paid as a fan your ticket, your visa application to Canada, and the moment you decide to drive across the border into Chicago, is it Chicago? It's Detroit. Sorry, it's the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And you tried to cross from Canada into Detroit, which is a bridge. That's the border. It's just a bridge over a river. Now you've got to pay that that $15,000 there. And then let's say the team has to go back to Canada to go play again. And you have to come back again if the team qualifies into the US, into the later stages of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay another $15,000 to come back in.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it's obviously, the visa is applicable for a set period, guys, because you get across the world 90 days as a visitor to a country the first time, 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the visa would be applicable. Obviously, the people would know. So just let you know, so you don't, you know, faint by the price tag. But it obviously would make logistics mad. I mean, I tried looking at the scenario for the French rugby, the Namibian rugby team that went to France with the last World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
The last World Cup we qualified for. Since we are not playing in 2027,
yeah.
The last World Cup that we qualified for. I did not know it was such a headache to fly to France.
From Namibia?
From Namibia.
Is it really?
Well, okay. First and foremost, there's a lot of traffic heading. If you're coming from Namibia, currently right now, you either have either SAA as an airways, mm-hmm. so you have to go through South Africa, or Ethiopian Airways that takes you to Addis.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, if you're going to Germany, you can fly directly with the Lufthansa affiliate brands
mm-hmm.
that fly from Windhoek directly to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
However, you'll either have to go, if you're saying Paris or you're saying France, you'll have, and you're going with the German, with any of the German airways, you're flying via Frankfurt to mm-hmm. France. So there's an overlay. Or if you're looking for a cheap deal and you're going through Addis, mm-hmm. then Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the logistics and coordination is obviously there is that a team is a big bunch of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than 30 people in some cases.
Yeah, way more than 30.
No, I'm talking about a football team, but if it's a rugby team, you're talking about 50 to 60 people
mm-hmm.
that you're taking with. So it obviously makes expenses heavy. Now, mm-hmm. the US dollar is the biggest thing, HD.
Yeah.
Things are not going to be cheap. So, besides the economics of the situation, the US has an extensive transport system, but they use flying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, if people don't do research before they go, that they're going to be surprised by, like how far the distance between cities.
Ah.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, in Europe, you can take a train everywhere.
Well, you can ride a bicycle, bruh.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't do that in America. No chance.
Because if the one football match is happening in New York,
mm-hmm.
in the city of New York, not the city of New Jersey, or not the state of New York, the city of New York, and your team, let's say you are supporting Algeria, and the team is playing next in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
from New York to Los Angeles, that's more than...
It's like a five, six hour flight.
Which is about almost 7,000 kilometers in a straight line.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. In a straight line. So that's probably like six Namibias from top to bottom, all the way to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So it makes the logistics difficult. So mm-hmm. it'll be another expense for the fan to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I know we started off from the geopolitical side of things, but there's also things internally that add to the geopolitics. And then obviously, if you have to try and watch a match in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to ask you this. Is it easy to get from the US to Mexico? I don't know if you've gone to Mexico.
No, I haven't yet.
Yeah.
But, for Americans, it's easy.
Yeah.
You just need a passport, obviously.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, they don't even need a visa. They can just go.
So it's like us in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. So, but now obviously for international fans, it'll be a bit different. I don't know if they're gonna make like special provisions just for the World Cup, like Morocco did for the Africans coming to Morocco.
Mm. Even though the rest of Africa doesn't like Morocco much, and even though
no, they serious beef through this AFCON, I learned that the beef between North and Sub-Saharan Africa is very real. But yeah,
it's not North, dude. It's Morocco and the other 54 countries of. 53 countries of Africa.
Yeah.
It's most because of Western Sahara. And our late president, Gayengob, was part of the collective of African heads of state in 2023 that went and said, yes, Morocco, you need to give independence to Western Sahara. I was like, what are we doing?
But Morocco was also like trying to like apply to be part of the EU.
But that happened after that 2023 incident.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. And the World Cup that happened in... It was 2022. And then literally at the end of 2022, we had the World Cup mm-hmm. where Morocco performed so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that space, Morocco went and, flirted with the EU about joining the EU.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, what is going on here? They probably were trying to do an Israel situation with Israel's clubs playing in the UEFA competitions.
So it's
the logistics of travel mm-hmm. is a key thing.
It's very key, very key. So. We're going to see. I feel like in the next probably 2 or 3 months, things will be clear in terms of what the World Cup is going to look like, in terms of tickets, in terms of, immigration of, or the immigration like opportunities and difficulties that people will face. I'm sure a lot of people are planning their trips now already. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot of, you know, social media stories and things about the difficulty that some people are facing in actually trying to go enjoy this World Cup.
Okay, I'm going to throw you now another sort of like hot potato.
Okay.
So the next country in Trump's radar for democracy, in inverted commas, is Iran, because of the Iran protests based upon the economic things, because of the value of the currency and all that other particular.
Didn't he just put like sanctions on, I think he said if you're trading with Iran or something like that, or I forget. But I saw something about the sanctions he's putting on Iran now again.
Mm. But even though Iran already has its whole collection or suitcase of sanctions already.
Yeah.
And obviously since South Africa decided to invite Iranian Navy for that naval exercise that's happening here in South Africa,
because
the Russian Navy is there and the Chinese Navy is also there having lovely exercises, the whole BRICS collection.
Yeah.
The downside is Iran is also a qualifying nation to the FIFA 2026 World Cup. And it makes things tricky because Iraq or Iran in one of the previous World Cups that were in the same group with the United States, and people were asking about the geopolitical situation between said countries. Now, we obviously know that FIFA will say geopolitics should not take frame or center stage, but politics has been used in sport before.
Yeah.
I don't know if you followed what happened with the Maccabi Tel Aviv football fans that played against Ajax Amsterdam last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, not last year. In the previous season of at the start of last year, 2025, and then they had to go to Aston Villa.
In the Europa League, yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
So, and remember how the politics influenced that situation because of the fans.
Yeah, I do.
So do we possibly see the same situation? Because obviously we know that football has a tendency to have hooligans in it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but in the case of that one now with the Iranian fans.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I guess we can call it hooliganism, but they were of the opinion that like they're doing the right thing.
Ooh, the Maccabi Tel Aviv.
No, the other supporters, the Aston Villa and Ajax supporters.
No, because the Ajax Amsterdam guys were, okay, it wasn't the Ajax Amsterdam.
They were basically like, continue, sorry.
The fighting technically happened between everyday people, let's say of Amsterdam, and the Aston Villa, stakeholders, which includes the Birmingham City police, the football club Aston Villa itself and UEFA. They had to weigh up the safety concerns around having these fans in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Because the city of Birmingham in the United Kingdom has a large Indian, Pakistani Muslim, Indian, Hindu, Pakistani Muslim, and then there's obviously going to be other Middle Eastern minority demographics there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously also a large, but Jamaican, African community as well, besides the obvious indigenous British community.
Mm-hmm.
The downside has been, Birmingham is a city of, it's got multiple ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
The Maccabi Tel Aviv fans, obviously, from the things that Israel is espousing, is that they are pushing, obviously, for homogenous society, one image, one identity.
Yeah.
And that some of their football chanting is way past racism. You can't even call that racism anymore.
Yeah.
So when we look at that, it makes the geopolitics difficult because that comes from the fans, not from the football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, what we're talking about is even before anyone has flown, and this is just looking at things building up to when the teams meet. So, obviously, Iran would get sort of like special provision, the Iran football team, because they have to play. Donald Trump can't even veto that.
Mm-hmm.
And the scenario of this obviously would be how primarily would Iranian fans also be allowed into the country?
Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, right now there's travel bans on Iranian nationals to the US.
And after the bombing of last year?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember.
So there probably won't be any Iranian fans unless they're already
based
in the US.
Yeah.
I doubt there will be any traveling
and
from
then
Iran.
And obviously ICE would be waiting outside the stadium for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they're waving an Iranian flag, ICE the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, everyone would be waiting for them outside, which would make things tricky.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, so that would be the one problematic scenario. The second, obviously, is, I don't think Denmark qualified, because Denmark is Greenland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I brought up Greenland. Like,
yeah.
What if,
now, if this attack also happens, or let's say, because there's already an American base there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what many people forget. I mean, that's what most of the reporting that we get exposed to, they forget that there's already an American base there.
Yeah.
But the Americans have opened, closed, opened, closed, opened, closed, ever since the 1950s. They've had multiple military installations on Greenland for this, you know, this defense of the Arctic zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Arctic zone is also a very important shipping lane. Because if it's the shortest route to get from, if you think about it, to get from Europe into Asia.
Yeah.
Because you're obviously trying to get to China and to Japan and to Russia. Okay. Russia is through multiple avenues. But that particular Arctic zone has a problematic area in terms of whoever is positioned at Greenland has some sort of a surveillance advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Russians, the Norwegians, the Finns, and there's another country.
Denmark is in the playoffs, by the way. So they have a strong chance of qualifying. They haven't qualified yet.
So they still have to go through
mm-hmm.
a certain particular... Oh, so they're going through the repechage channel.
Yeah, they're playing against Macedonia?
North Macedonia. They can't use that name, Macedonia, because of the province of Macedonia in Greece.
Oh. Yeah, North Macedonia.
Yeah, I watched the whole video also about the geo-racism of the Balkans. So yeah, so this particular conversation, HD, is something that won't end, obviously, in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're only 14 days into the new year.
Mm-hmm.
We've already had, you know, surprise, big bang surprises on 3 January. We're already seeing threats being thrown at Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's obviously also other particular developments regarding other sports tournaments we still have to watch out for. Obviously, in our benefit as Namibia, the under 19 cricket is happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
South Africa is continuing to perform in its rugby, but its government seems to be putting it in a very difficult position.
Mm-hmm.
Why I say that is primarily because of that naval exercise that's happening right now. So, yeah. So we're obviously sitting with this, they call it a malaise, and, since it's a French word, I can't use it properly. Now, I'm asking this question because you and I, we know the obvious answer, which is, according to the international bodies of sports, governments should not influence the sports codes itself or have any influence in it.
Yeah.
But the actions of the governments in the other spheres of everyday life with, you know, other countries, with the UN, with continental bodies, should that also be something primarily that has to come into the purview of said political leaders in said governments?
I think, yeah, that's tricky to answer because I don't know how much these political leaders take how their decisions impact their sports into account, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's quite a secondary or afterthought when it comes to some of these decisions that they make.
Mm.
I feel like, Trump, perfect example. I don't think he really cares how whatever he does impacts USA soccer, for example.
Mm.
Or I don't think who is this? Macron thinks about the French national team when he makes certain decisions in France, you know. So
even though he cheered them on twice when they won the World Cup's back.
Yeah, I mean when they win they're happy, but
yeah.
I don't think in their everyday decision making they really take into account how these things can affect their national teams.
Yeah.
But I think that they, to an extent that they should, especially if, for example, in the case of South Africa, like, the Springboks, we all know how massive they are and how important they are to South Africa.
Mm.
So, I mean, the Springboks were used by Nelson Mandela during that World Cup as a tool to unite the nation. So,
basically, yeah.
One can easily argue that without the Springboks, there's no South Africa to begin with.
Mm.
So, I feel like nations like South Africa should definitely at least think about how their actions impact their sports teams.
I mean, South Africa is always historically used as the if we can call it the case study, mm-hmm. used in sports history, and where politics and sport have conflicting interests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a famous book that came out about the supposed best South African cricketer. I'm using that label primarily because this is a guy. He's a guy from Cape Town, specifically Basil de Oliveira. Basil could not play for South Africa. Obviously, we know why, because of the apartheid system back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then Basil, they formed an, what do they call this word? An unofficial South African team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played against the West Indies, because the West Indies captain at the time requested, and this is in the 60s, remember?
Okay.
And requested at the time because they heard just snippets from international media that came with, it was either the Australians or with the English that toured South Africa back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then they heard of this team that, and this talent that existed but did not, could not face off against. So they played against Basil de Oliveira in Zimbabwe, in Harare. And the West Indians were like, okay, so why is South Africa not picking this guy? And then, you know, obviously the furore went on and, you know, all that stuff. And Basil, unfortunately, had to immigrate from Cape Town to the UK to go play for England, the England and Wales Cricket Board. And he, technically, there's a book written about him by another British journalist. What's the guy's name? But the book's name is literally Basil de Oliveira.
Wait, was Basil a white man or a black man?
He was a colored guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
From Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
So Basil had to go and play, had to live. He moved with his wife and kids. They had to move to England.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate thing is he started playing for England. Now, the other historic case scenario was obviously also when the All Blacks, also in the 60s, wanted to tour, or 60s or 70s, wanted to tour South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But the All Blacks had a whole bunch of Maoris in their team.
Mm-hmm.
And the South African immigration services told this other, the New Zealanders, but you can't show up with, you can't come here with Maori players.
Mm.
You must come here with an all-white team, a New Zealand rugby team.
Mm-hmm.
And then New Zealand was like, okay, then sharp, we won't tour you.
Yeah.
And when New Zealand said sharp, then the English, the Australians, the French, and all the other nations just went like, okay, fine, we won't. And then that's obviously when that sports ban of South Africa happened.
Mm-hmm.
For like, it was like a 20-year sports ban.
Mm-hmm.
So South Africa's always used as this particular pig. Now, there is an obvious country. You know, we mentioned them. Israel is continuously popping up in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But certain moves were made primarily so that Israel can play in UEFA and compete in UEFA and European competitions.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the particular actions of the U.S. politician versus how the U.S. Football, rugby, even their cricket team, how they are open to inviting international talent to come and compete with them in the U.S. to help sell the sport and its particular positives to the American consumer.
Yeah.
You see the positive on the one side, but you continuously are bombarded with the negative that the politicians are acting. Like you said, Macron doesn't know, or what's the guy's name? Keir Starmer doesn't know about the effects that his policies have for his sports teams.
Yeah.
So, doesn't it make it a little bit more peculiar for a country like the United States, primarily?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, United States, if you look at, you brought up their cricket team is just Indians.
I know. And like, I think one or two South Africans in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they don't have a problem with, you know, mass immigration in certain extents, but then they have a problem with it on other levels. So,
yeah.
It's a confusing situation. Confusing and I think unfortunate situation as well. Like,
yeah.
We should be, I mean, a World Cup is something that it should be like the pinnacle of the sporting calendar. It's like everyone, the whole world is waiting for this. We spent 4 years waiting for this. We enjoyed the one that happened in what was the last one?
The one in Qatar.
In Qatar, everyone enjoyed it.
Which also came out in December, by the way.
Yeah.
November, December.
Yeah, it was December.
Yeah.
I mean, even that one had like a certain, political stain to it, so to say. But when it finally did arrive, it was no one can deny that was a fun World Cup. Like
it was.
Everyone had a great time. Like it was. There was no issues. Even the people that were there that initially were complaining about no alcohol and whatever. Everyone had a good time.
Mm.
Now this one, all we're talking about is like the negatives. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing with Qatar when they were talking about the supposed human trafficking around mm-hmm. the migrant labor system.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, guys, if you don't know what happened with Qatar, is that just to give you a pretext, the Qataris have something closer to a universal basic income system because of the oil proceeds that they make. So, yes, if you're a Qatari, you get paid or you get like a preloaded amount of money, the same in the UAE. So these guys obviously won't be your street sweepers or your garbage disposal guys or work in the hotels. No, it would be people from the Philippines, Thailand, other Middle Eastern countries. Some African countries as well. And obviously there will be dubious practices in how those people got there.
Yeah.
But at the heart of everything, many of the international reports were focusing on the construction workers, right?
Yeah, it was the people that were building the stadiums.
There was the stadiums, yeah. And many of them were Bangladeshi and Filipino and Thai.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Qatari authorities were so transparent. They had that whole exercise with Infantino, remember?
Yeah.
Like in 2020, was it 2021 or 2020? Yeah, 2021, where they took Infantino through that whole process of showing everything is legit.
Yeah.
We made sure that people are vetted. And then all the construction crews have the safety concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they corrected, the whole noise started dying down.
Yeah. But I mean, even after it was corrected, people were still like, this is a human rights violation, et cetera.
But they were accusing Qatar of like being responsible for the human trafficking.
Yeah.
As if you're now saying Namibia is responsible for the poaching happening in its country. To an extent, maybe. But I mean, what must you do if the police don't have a baki that functions? I'm sorry, Nampo. I'm really sorry, Nampo. But I mean, that example is popping up that reason is popping up a lot more, even in the Riebos with mm-hmm. its crime, with its crime elements. But yeah, so when we obviously look at this HD, we've got like 7 or 8 minutes to go. The World Cup obviously will go down. Just for us to agree on. World Cup will still proceed.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Because obviously it's wishful thinking to think now that FIFA will just strip the United States.
Unless like actual like World War III breaks out, it's going to happen.
But that's also the weird thing. Because
I mean, maybe, and even if it does happen, maybe they'll pause the war just for the World Cup and then continue after.
Because when we look at the weird things that have happened, Venezuela and United States are both FIFA members.
Mm-hmm.
But literally when UEFA decided on Russia and the Ukrainian football team is still playing, the other sports codes of Ukraine are still functioning.
Mm-hmm.
UEFA or FIFA just went and said, and this is from back in 2022, right? February. So it's literally like 7 days after Russia started it. FIFA, UEFA suspend Russian clubs and national teams from all competitions. But it was based on UEFA's action that FIFA just went and said, okay, fine, we stand with UEFA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the end of 2022, we had Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
Russia was close to qualifying for Qatar. Russia was immediately moved from, I think it was position 3 in that table,
mm-hmm.
to last position, and they were stripped of their points.
Yeah.
Because if, I mean, actually, it was even so bad in terms of if you read what happened to Russia specifically, the Russian football women's team, the Russian futsal team, the Russian men's, various men's age group teams, all of them were just sort of like demoted, points were stripped, and they were said, you can't play anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're banned from this World Cup also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the hope, did you also know that Russia put in a bid in 2021? To host the 2032 and the 2027, UEFA, the next continental.
The Euros?
It was the Euro, they've got most of two things, the Euro Nations Cup and the Euro, the other one, or the Nations League final and something else.
Uh-huh.
To host both 2032, 2027 or 2028.
Uh-huh.
Russia had put in a bid. That bid was also just like, unanimously said, okay, sharp, no, no. We won't give it to you.
Yeah.
Because they still had the infrastructure they had from the 2018 Football World Cup.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a peculiar situation.
But then it also highlights primarily that there is a bias. That we obviously have to acknowledge.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, like how at the Olympics, the Russian athletes compete under
the, name? Under the Olympic name. It's, what is that name? They're the only ones that have IO something.
It's most them and like the refugees.
Yeah.
I forget the exact term.
Or athletes that became refugees because of persecution in their country.
Yeah.
So the Russian athletes, and it was the Russian athletes that were accused of doping.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the weird scenario. Once again, highlighting bias. The rest of the world has to subscribe to the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA.
Mm-hmm.
American athletes in the United States.
WSADA.
USDA.
I mean, what am I saying? USDA, yeah.
The American athletes get tested by USDA. And the American athletes only recognize USDA's jurisdiction, not WADA's jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But USDA does not subscribe to WADA.
Yeah.
And they've even got conflicting regulations and how they do things.
Yeah, I remember reading about the beef between the two.
Yeah. And that was because of, what was the last Olympics? The one that happened in, what was that Olympics? The one that happened in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Just before, okay, we had Mr. COVID because the Tokyo Olympics was supposed to take place in 2020. And it took place in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So it was supposed to happen. And in 2019, that start of 2021, the discussion obviously was, what about the doping accusations popping up from the United States? Because you had the likes of, what was that, Marion Johnson?
Yeah.
No.
Marion Johnson.
What was Marion's surname?
The sprinter?
The sprinter that got banned. Because she got most banned for doping.
Let me see her surname.
What was that lady's name, man?
Marion Jones?
Marion Jones, yes. Because Johnson was the guy.
Yeah.
The guy that ran 400 meters.
Mm-hmm.
No, 200 and 400. Marion Jones, and there was a whole bunch of other American sprinters that continuously popped up for doping charges.
Yeah.
And then we had, obviously, the famous guy, Lance Armstrong, who literally wrote the anti-doping technology. Oh no, he developed it and he sold it to the cycling body, the world cycling body, because it only tested positive or negative for him, but it tested positive for the other guys. But when we look at scenarios like this, where primarily the Americans keep telling the same sports bodies that we all subscribe to that we don't acknowledge your regulations. Primarily the bias obviously should have warned us all that the Americans are not here to be fair or to act fair under the same rules and regulations, whether it be their politicians or their own athletes. We obviously should have seen this from the get-go, or we are seeing it still.
Yeah, 100%. We're still seeing it. But also, it's a bit, the thing with now WADA and
USDA.
And USDA, they still do get tested by WADA, but USDA is the one that does it on behalf of WADA, basically. Is the relationship or is the agreement that they formed.
Yeah.
Because, you have to have some kind of WADA clearance to compete. But the USDA says, we're going to do it and then we'll give you our results and you're going to accept our results, basically. Is what they
Whereas
do.
Whereas if you're coming from Russia, you are WADA.
Yeah, exactly.
and WADA will just, hit you with any particular sort of like stick to say, listen, if it's our way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, just in one sort of like 30-second comment scenario, I know the World Cup will continue, but do we foresee possible side events, primarily negative side events, popping up? Starting from May to the June to into the competition itself.
Like leading up to the World Cup, you mean?
Leading up to it and primarily also possibly influencing it.
Yeah, I think there will be the political unrest I mentioned earlier, like within the US. Mm. I think that's only going to escalate from here. I don't see it slowing down anytime soon.
Mm.
So between now and the World Cup, I think there's going to be some major incidents in some of the major US cities, especially if Trump continues with, we have a caller on the line there.
Yeah, but we have...
Just take him. Just
5 seconds. Okay, okay. Let's take him. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Dwight and the young man there.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Uncle Bona?
Yeah, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Uncle Bona, what do you want to add? You have to shoot quickly before the next show.
I'm just worried because USA and all these things, they didn't, you know, they are still participating in those things.
Yeah, they are.
Because they said that they are interfering into other people's territory.
Yeah.
And why is it that they are regarded so special, actually?
That is most the whole thing, Uncle Bona, that we're highlighting here, primarily because we can obviously see the bias. We can see the unfairness. Because if you are Zimbabwe and you are the sports minister of Zimbabwe and you hear that officials in the football association has, you know, bad conduct and you wish to interfere, CAF and FIFA tells you, you'll get banned. You'll get banned. But if the president of your country, if you're now in the US, decides to invade another country and kidnap that country's president,
imagine.
Everything is still cozy, you know. We're still good. Everything is still systems go.
Let them, you see, when you are misusing your power, economic power, and military, and all these other things, eh?
Mm.
At one point, the grace of God will move away from you. And the devil, Satan, will come and pin you.
Angobana, we're dealing with realities.
No. Greet the young man. We meet him on Sunday.
Not a problem. Not a problem, Angabana.
Really?
And yes, sir.
Yes, happy new year. And how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Happy new year to you too.
We are waiting for you to come on Sunday.
Yeah, I was there last Sunday.
I see it.
Yeah, but I'll be there again this Sunday, 6 o'clock.
No, last Sunday we engage you with the family activities and other things.
All right.
So thank you very much. Please go ahead and keep on informing us and educating us, especially like this young man there, Dwight. Oh, we are so grateful.
Uncle Bona, I'm really close to a pensionable age now, ne? So I have to move away from, the young man status.
We're waiting for you so that we do mastery projects.
No, I'll go play bingos. I'll go play bingo and dominoes, Uncle Bona.
Okay,
all right. Thanks for coming through. So, HD, on that particular note, thanks again for coming through. Also for the further expansion on what is still happening. It's still an active situation.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, stay tuned for the business and economic segment after the break. Do remember that you can always call through at 083-288. Obviously, that during throughout all our shows. And also
288-401.
Yeah, 401. Sorry, I slid over it there like a banana peel. But do remember that we will be back same time, same place. Remember to also call in and interact with HD on Ohende on Sundays.
Yeah, from the Eagle Sports Zone, 6 to 8 p.m.
Exactly. And he will obviously be bringing you some exhilarating interactions, developments from the Under-19 Cricket World Cup that starts tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a fan, I'm not here to promote that competition, nor am I promoting them. But you know what? Go and watch them.
Yeah, I believe tickets are free, so.
Why did you say?
Oh, sorry.
I wanted people to go check it out. So yeah. But yeah, just like Hende said, there is a little perk out there. If you're in Windhoek, have the opportunity, go chill. Don't do it with alcohol, but just go and chill and see the young talent on display from the world's top cricketing nations. On that note, HD, on your side?
That's all I have for today.
Thanks a lot. And let's see each other again. Same time, same place tomorrow, guys.